Praise be to all, because the gods have returned to Earth. They are making a road trip on today, St. Patrick's Day, bringing their leprechauns along with them to listen to American Godcast, an American Gods podcast. I'm Alex.
When you've been worshiping the leprechauns for your entire life, you gotta give them due. I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
What was that?
I'm not going to keep it up all episode.
Okay, good. Glad to hear that. We're going to be talking about the second episode of season two of American Gods called The Beguiling Man. As Ooh. Mentioned, it is St. Patrick's Day. When this episode is airing, we are drinking a fine, authentic Irish red IPA, as they do back in the homeland. We, of course, all three of us have Irish descent. So we
can deeply Irish.
Deeply Irish.
Faith in Begora.
Pete, what about you? Grandfather side, grandmother side?
I'm not sure, but I am Irish.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, are you really?
Yep. Famous.
Oh.
LePage.
And LePage. I'm Jewish, which is like Irish. Yeah. It's the same. It's the same root. It's the same
That's definitely what it is. Yeah. We're all people.
Yeah. Hey man. We're all meat and bones down. You know what I'm talking about? All the way down.
And coins. And coins.
Yeah. How many coins did you eat today, Pete?
Two.
Oh, nice. Now, we are also drinking during this episode, not just because of St. Patty's Day, but also because Pete is crushed by what happened at the end of the episode.
This was the saddest episode I've ever seen.
And you may be thinking, did a famous, much-loved character die? Was there a touching moment between, say, a mother and a son? Nope. A car was wrecked sort of off-camera, and Pete truly was the most upset I've seen him in quite some time.
Yeah, I got us all beers because Pete was traumatized. Pete walked out of the room and poured one out for the car.
For not just a car, you fucking assholes, right. One of the sweetest caddies,
a fictional car
that I've seen on television in a long time. That Betty was a hell of a ride.
I do want to clarify, it is a fictional car that they probably did with CGI, so the actual car still exists.
Also, the car didn't really play much into the show at all. People were riding in the car.
It's been in a bunch of apps.
People were riding
every time
inside
Wednesday's
the car.
Rolling, he rolls in that caddy.
But he doesn't. The car doesn't have a big.
The car came alive, turned into a horse after it blew up there. So,
interesting interpretation.
What cars normally do. Yeah. Let's do a recap of this episode. We are going to loop back to this big car moment that everybody's talking about. Hashtag American Gods Cars trending on the internet right now, as you all know.
Exactly. Hashtag rest in peace, Black Betty.
Yeah, definitely. Viral.
Yes.
That's going viral.
I guarantee there's at least one tweet about that, and it's Pete. And that's it. To get caught up to this point, though, there's a guy named Shadow Moon. He is an ex-con. We find out a lot more about him this episode, his backstory. But he was recruited by a guy named Mr. Wednesday, who it turns out is the god Odin, to help be his right-hand man in the battle between the new gods and the old gods. They've been driving around the country, recruiting all these other gods. That all led to a confrontation near the House on the Rock last episode, specifically in a diner near the House on the Rock.
Motel.
What?
It was like a motel, and then there was
the motel, Motel American.
Right, and there was a diner attached to it.
Everybody's right.
Yes. Cool. It was attacked by a bunch of the new gods, specifically, as we find out this episode, agents of Mr. Town, who was in a bunch of insurance commercials. Is that right, Justin?
Mayhem. He plays Mayhem in the Mayhem commercials.
Right.
It really makes me want to buy insurance watching this episode.
Yeah, I feel like Shadow was abducted by a commercial in this episode.
See, it's funny you know him from there because I know him as Tina Fey's terrible boyfriend on 30 Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's all the same role. There's one continuity.
Anytime you see, what is his name, Crispin or something, I think.
Mr. World.
I just think of Creepy Thin Man, so.
Creepy Thin Man?
Yeah.
Basically, whether it's
Charlie's
cars or
Angels,
people, we're
Charlie's
unable
Angels.
To see beyond what they're actually like in real life. So that was attacked. Shadow was taken by, it's seemingly a light from heaven. We didn't know exactly what was going on there. We find out what's going on here. Meanwhile, his ex-wife, maybe current wife, hard to tell, Laura Moon,
died
while cheating on him.
No, but I think she died when she was married to him, so...
Right, technically. I don't know if they finalized the divorce.
No, if you're sucking another dude's dick, you're no longer married. That's
not how divorces
work.
That's
not legal.
That's not a bad thing.
You are a terrible lawyer.
Yeah, that's not how divorces work.
Right.
No, I'm pretty
sure. So she died, but due to a lucky leprechaun coin, came back to life, lodged herself in her stomach. She has palled around with that leprechaun named Mad Sweeney, really wants his coin back, particularly because his luck has flipped because it's inside of her stomach. She's also super strong because of it, and very, very angry. The farther away Shadow Moon gets, she seems to start rotting a little bit.
Yeah.
So beyond the fact that she wants to get closer to him, she also is literally falling apart the farther that he gets away from her. Other characters you probably know about, there's Anansi, a.k.a. Mr. Nancy, played by Orlando Jones.
Spider-Man.
He's a spider god. He's
he's called Spider-Man in this episode, so that's all I need.
That'd be the most confusing way to refer to
him. Well, that's what he's going to be referred to as.
Sure, but he's not actually Spider-Man. He is Anansi, the trickster
god
from Africa.
He is a Spider-Man.
Oh, God. And what else do we need to talk about? Another thing. Gillian Anderson got recast on the show. So originally she was playing a character named Media. She decided to leave the show along with Brian Fuller and Michael Green, who are the co-creators of the show. And they are recasting her in a new role as New Media. So we had a little bit of business that went on this episode because of that.
She's been recast as a Sparkle.
Eventually a person, but yeah, we'll get there. So let's talk about the episode.
Yeah.
Overall, before we get into it, though, we were talking about this a little bit before I turned the mics on. You felt like this episode was a lot.
Yeah, I mean, this show, a lot of people were talking about how the quality, they were worried the quality was going to drop off of the show because of all the creative changes, the changing in the creatives behind the show. And I actually think the quality is pretty high, and they cram so much information and emotional points in their episodes, especially this one.
This was a very emotional episode.
Philosophizing, car wrecks, obviously.
World Trade Center, you know.
See that?
Yeah, that was emotional. A lot of stuff about Shadow and his mom was very emotional. The music was so amazing.
I mean, I do think overall it was a good episode, but at the same time, I do think it feels like a slightly different show. I don't know if that's the knowledge of what went on behind the scenes or not. But like we talked about last week, it feels a little less dreamy, a little less storybook to me. It's still incredibly well shot, well acted, well put together, well written. But drama-wise and arc-wise, it feels maybe 10 to 15% more straightforward.
Yeah, I think there's more plot. It's more plot-focused and less of just a wash. And I think you can chalk that up to more happening in the actual content of the show, but also the change. I mean, Brian Fuller sort of lets things breathe a little bit more, and this feels a little bit more, let's get things happening.
Right, which is interesting, not to stick on this too much, but just the other day, Starz renewed it for a third season with a new showrunner, which is great news. But in the press release, they said nothing about third and final season, which, as far as I recall, that was the original plan. The original plan was to go 3 8 to 10 episode seasons, wrap up the story, be done. But it seems to me now, even though they are jamming through the plot, Starz might want to keep it going even longer.
Well, what I think is, I mean, the plot is moving pretty quickly, so I don't know how they're going to do even a third season, let alone beyond that.
Well, there is, for those of you who have read the book, there is a point when everything kind of stops, and it almost becomes a small-town murder mystery for a good chunk of the book.
Oh. Yeah.
There's some thematic stuff that happens. There's character stuff that happens. We find out more about the world and how it works. I don't know how on a TV show you do that for longer than an episode, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I mean, they could also just take it a different direction. They've got a bunch of great characters. You know, they can just...
Yeah, once Mad Sweeney and Laura Moon get together, they can do like a sort of a fun romance.
Yeah,
I'm fine with that as long as Laura Moon doesn't think she's getting back together with Shadow.
This is crazy because you were very clearly baiting Pete just there, and Pete was like, great.
He didn't take the bait.
No.
He loves bait.
Yeah.
Bait's his favorite food.
I do love bait.
He loves bait. Yeah. I know for sure. Okay, maybe then Laura can get back with Shadow.
Nope.
Got him.
So we pick up at the diner at the top of the episode, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
right where we left off.
right where we left off with the carnage of everything that's going on. Everybody kind of splits off in their own directions, their own seemingly separate missions.
Team-ups.
Until it comes back
together. You get Chernabog doing a Chernabog-a-log.
Yeah. Oh, yeah!
About the coming storm. Yeah. Right. It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, he's great.
He loves talking
Peter
about his
Stormare.
Hammer, man.
He does love talking about his hammer.
That's cool. If you were known for having a hammer, you'd talk about it.
If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning.
Yeah, cool.
I don't know if I'd probably get annoying. You know, if
talking about
talk about your
for
hammer.
Your
yeah,
friends.
You guys would be like, shut up already.
Yeah, we get it about
your
hammer.
It's like you and the Punisher, basically.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
No, I love you talking about it.
The
keep
Punisher
talking
is
about
your
it.
Hammer.
I don't overly talk about the Punisher.
I mean, you're talking about him right now.
Yeah, you brought it up, asshole.
Did I?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll listen back to that later and see exactly what happened.
You're ridiculous.
So, Mr. Wednesday and Mr. Nancy split off into their own direction. Laura Moon and Matt Sweeney team up to go track down Shadow Moon. And then the last bit that's left there, we didn't mention this in the recap. There's a dude named Salim who is a cab driver. He is in love with a djinn, aka a genie. They had a night of incredible passion. Salim tracked him down, and the djinn really doesn't seemingly want anything to do with him at this point. But Salim,
I don't know, but
wants
I think
a lot
the djinn's in.
You think he's playing cool?
Yeah, I think the djinn's in.
The djinn is in.
Yeah, the djinn is in.
Yeah,
they're adorable together.
They've been
by the way.
Together. Yeah. And now the djinn is it.
Yeah. Also, he's in the little sidecar with the helmet. He looks so happy to be on that motorcycle with him.
So they're racing off to go fight some gods to get the spear that Mr. Wednesday needs to continue the war, start the war. And
is that the spear of destiny?
Maybe, in a way, it is. The djinn's like, you're not coming with me, man. You're just a regular dude. And he's like, I'm coming. And then he has a motorcycle with a sidecar. Of course he's going to
go. Right. What was he going to put in there?
Exactly.
Groceries?
You don't put groceries in the sidecar.
No, they fly out.
Yeah, if you want a motorcycle, you don't buy groceries.
Usually
eat whatever
you
find.
A cool dog to sit with you.
A tiny dog.
Yeah. If you're in a motorcycle, you just open your mouth and the food flies in.
Exactly.
Oh, that's gross.
And if you want to talk about flies, I just want to shout out to whoever is training the flies for this
fly
show.
To fly on Laura,
to fly around Laura and fly on camera and
very
off camera.
Very impressive.
Great. Amazing fly
acting. The acting. Yeah, it's just really.
And as I'm a classically trained actor, as you. You guys know at least. So I really, you can see the detail work that these flies are doing. They're really feeling the moment. There's clearly like they're using their full bodies. Their bodies are instruments.
Yeah. I do like that we get back to that this episode. We talked about it a little bit in the last
podcast. Get back to the flies?
Hold on.
Well, explain yourself.
I am. You keep interrupting me.
How's it feel?
Real good. Keep doing it. We talked about this last podcast, the idea of, wait, does Laura get stronger? Does she become more alive the closer she gets to Shadow? And I think this episode pretty clearly establishes that. There's more flies around her. Matt Sweeney remarks on it. She ends up throwing up after she picks up the car. We don't necessarily see the color of the vomit or anything like that, but presumably that's her guts that she's vomiting up again. Yeah. Yes, Pete.
I liked how the leprechaun was kind of like, huh? Was my coin in that throw up? You know,
yeah,
that's really good.
Always check the throw up.
Well, he wants his coin. So,
but especially today,
it up.
It's St. Paddy's Day. We're gonna be out in the town later. You know, if anyone's vomiting, sift through. You never know what you're gonna find.
Oh, that is gross.
I have a question. This is getting back to kind of what we talked about at the beginning. Do you miss the stories of the gods at all? Because I miss that in the show. That was something that I think was so special and exciting about the first season, and I think that's missing here a little bit.
We got the stories already. You can't keep telling the stories.
We could hear some more. I agree with Alex. I miss the sort of the little...
But it was an intro when we got a new god. So we have all the gods, so we don't need
more
stories.
Do you know what? This is jumping ahead, but it specifically struck me. We got a bunch of flashbacks of Shadow Moon. Shadow is taken hostage by Mr. Town. He's being tortured and forced to relive his memories for him through a device that makes him look like the Vitruvian Man. And... I wanted to see narration there. You know, I wanted to see hear Mr. Nancy telling the story. Stop it. Telling the story of Shadow Moon. Like, I think there was.
But he's not a god, though, so why would he do that?
Yeah, I think that's fair. But at the same time, I think.
And as he is.
Yeah, but, well, what do you think he actually is based on this episode, Pete? What do you think is going on with him?
I mean, what I liked was, the dead lady. She sees him as a light, And then I really liked the flashbacks of the mom telling him that he is the light. So I was like, oh, that is cool. But I still, and we got to see in the flashbacks that Mr. Wednesday knew Shadow when he was young and was planting seeds early. So he has to be somebody, but he's clearly not a god because he wasn't.
So wait, you're saying Mr. Wednesday, why are you saying Mr. Wednesday knew him?
Because he was the one who gave him the coin.
So in the flashback, Shadow and his mother moved to New York, and she sort of shits on New York a little bit.
No, he shits on. Yeah. Take it easy.
Particularly because you see the World Trade Center. I was like, yo,
yeah,
chill it out.
Shadow, that was emotional seeing that.
Yeah.
Then
that, by the way, ties back to Spider-Man because, as we all know, the original Spider-Man promo had him web between the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
And then they had to cut it.
Yeah.
After 9/11. What's up, Pete?
Okay, great.
Very poorly done joke there.
It's not a joke. It's real. True.
Really?
Yeah.
In the original, because that movie came out right then,
right
around then. And they, the original, but you can see it online. The original promo was.
The original poster, the original teaser, and then they immediately pulled it. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, the poor joke part.
What a weird thing for a joke to say.
I know. That's why I was like, that's in bad taste, but if it's true, okay.
No. Nothing that is true is in bad taste.
Great. you can't say get in trouble for saying anything as long as it's true. Just check out Twitter. So moving into what else happens, Shadow then gets outrageously beat up by some kids.
Over his disc, man.
And then he beats up some kids, and then his mom is dying. And throughout all of that, he's at the doctor's office, and some person gives him a coin. And he starts learning
Mr.
coin
Wednesday.
Tricks. Yeah, Mr. Wednesday.
Yeah, you definitely think it was Mr. Wednesday.
Yeah, it was Mr. Wednesday's voice.
Sure. It was a little bit of a different voice.
Like a younger Wednesday.
Sure, right. But it was clearly Mr. Wednesday.
Mr. Tuesday.
Yeah, Mr. Tuesday. Or Wednesday morning. Mr. Wednesday morning?
Yeah.
It's good morning. Mr. Wednesday morning.
As soon as you took the breath in, I cringed because I knew what was coming.
My favorite, I want at some point on this show to see Mr. Zoo Crew because that's my favorite god.
Now that's a god of America. Oh. Well, and that getting back to your initial question, I do miss the god flashback story. Well, I wish we could get some of the new gods and we could see their origin story.
Maybe
we will.
The new gods.
Okay.
Yeah, you're recording this on a microphone, dude.
Yeah.
You're praying to the good new gods
I
right now.
I am not.
Exactly.
Yes.
You're
no.
giving the
no,
new gods I'm, lip service
no,
literally
wait,
right now.
Yeah. No, your
I'm
lips
school.
Are literally
I'm
touching
all,
a microphone.
I'm team
right
old
now.
Gods.
You're practically in a car next to Laura Moon, who is sucking that microphone out.
You're going to die so soon.
but that was some telling flashback stuff
about Shadow.
Yeah,
I mean, I think what we learn through these flashbacks, there's a couple of things. Obviously, we learn about his mom. His mom is saying some pseudo mystical stuff to him. To Pete's point, we do learn that Mr. Wednesday has been in his life at least one point before, which is probably the biggest plot revelation there. But also later on, when his mother is sick, Shadow gets really upset, runs out into the alley, and saves a kid who's being beat up, but also kicks the shit out of the other kids. But I think his mother very rightly says, no, you wanted to get into a fight.
Yeah.
And I think that's been Shadow Moon's character all along. That's what we're getting to in Mr. Town's interrogation.
Yeah, that was a very valid question where he was like, dude, what's your deal? Do you just float in between shit? Do you have any motivation?
Right.
It was a valid question.
It absolutely was a valid question.
All-state
and I'm forgetting
guy.
The exact line, but there's some line that Mr. Town says to him about you've forgotten how to tell the truth. And I think that comes down to what Shadow Moon is doing internally as well, is that's why he's rejecting the gods. That's why he isn't believing any of this stuff, is because he's constantly lying to himself about absolutely everything.
Wow. Well, and also he's just in the dark. He doesn't know what's happening at any time. And I feel like the new guys also are like, what's the deal with you, man? Everyone's talking about you. Why? And they don't know. So Shadow doesn't know why he's so important. The new guys don't know why he's so important. So it's this weird. This episode was all about them just being like, what's going on?
But you hear a lot in like action movies where it's like, you know, if somebody purposely keeps somebody in the dark, it's for their own safety. And I was very happy that Shadow Moon didn't know anything, because otherwise whatever those dudes were, the new guys who were torturing him, might have been able to get some key information. But he literally doesn't know shit, so they can beat him up or torture him all they want. They're not going to find out anything.
I'll throw something else out at you. Do you think maybe it's a distraction on Mr. Wednesday's part? Like, it seems like a con. It's look over here at this guy that we're so interested in, yeah, focus on him, and then I can do whatever I want to my car, turn it into a horse, etc.
Jesus Christ, stop.
I'm not doing it to hurt you. I'm saying literally it's like sleight of hand, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We talk about magic in the episode.
Yeah.
So at the very least, certainly in the structure of the episode, that's what's happening, that you think Shadow Moon and Mr. Nancy are going off on their own mission, when in fact they're intersecting with what's going on with Laura and Matt Sweetie.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's no... They lied to them that they were going to do something else and then ended up only doing what they needed to do to fuck up that mission.
Right. So that might be part of it, that it's focus on Shadow Moon. Something is really important about him. Get the new gods angry, get them distracted, so that Mr. Wednesday can go around and do whatever he wants. Yep. Possibly.
Maybe.
We'll see. Shadow also very curious about who his father is.
Yeah. And we got no answers.
No answers.
What do you think? Any theories, Pete?
Well, I mean, he says he's from Europe.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. Could be, from France? I don't know, Gérard Depardieu.
That guy.
Mr. Bean.
Oh,
think about that.
Yeah.
The guy from Notting Hill.
Grant?
He's from France. It could be Louis XIV.
That's a good point.
That's
a good point.
I don't know.
Jerry Lewis is popular in France. Maybe he was there on a trip, and then he...
If you're going to open it up to Jerry Lewis, there's
the Eiffel Tower.
Touring
acts. Touring acts.
There we go.
I think that's...
Baguette, very French. We know a lot about France.
Man, do we.
Yeah. I will say, as a book reader, there are revelations coming about who his father is. It's not quite necessarily what you expect if you haven't read the book, but certainly don't worry. That's not something they're going to leave to the wayside.
Okay, good, because, I mean, they brought it up, so
yeah.
You got us all curious. Now you got to kind of answer it.
Yeah.
We want to talk about Laura and Matt Sweeney. They have a fun trip. They do have a sort of a flirtatious thing.
They do have chemistry.
Hashtag
huh?
Mad Moon. Hashtag Mad
Great,
Moon.
Yeah. Fucking do it. Great. As long as she's out of goddamn Shadow Moon's life, I am happy.
I don't think she's out of his life. In fact, she can't do anything without seeing him somewhere on the horizon.
Right. She can see him all she wants, as long as she doesn't try anything.
But that's so awkward if your ex is always showing up all the time,
sure,
everywhere you look.
Whatever.
That's like seeing an update on Facebook from an ex, but just every time you close your eyes.
Yeah, I like them together. I think they're great. I think
who do you like together?
Matt Sweeney and Laura Moon.
Okay, great.
Mad Moon.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you.
It's breaking my brain a little bit that you're like, yeah, break up this relationship, woo, because that is so inconsistent with your character.
Well, when she doesn't deserve him because of what she did. And the leprechaun was right. He was giving her a ton of shit in the car, and I was super happy about it. Although I got to give her credit, she flipped it around at the end. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
We've talked about this a bit, that Mad Sweeney says he hates Laura Moon, but he clearly does not. And based on the fact of what happens in this episode, they're chasing after Shadow. They run into various issues because
the cow moment was funny.
Yeah, because Mad Sweeney's bad luck. They run into a cow. They run over a nail. Mad Sweeney gets his foot crushed by the car while they're trying to jack it up. And eventually they run into a dead end. So they walk into this gorgeous field of flowers. Laura lies down. They have a conversation.
Quits. It was so frustrating. The whole time she's like, we got to get there. We got to get there. She hits one dead end and she just
gives
up.
What are you talking about?
Like some kind of asshole quitter.
No, there's no way through.
Oh, turn around and find another way. You don't just quit and lay in a field.
What she's worried about, she sees Shadow Moon moving away at top speed.
Right.
By the time they back up and figure out another way around, he might be completely out of the reach and gone.
Also, she doesn't know if he's in the air or how he's moving, how he's being traveled.
Right.
So, like,
neither do we, by the way.
That's right.
Yeah.
But halfway through this episode, you went and laid down on the floor.
No,
I didn't. You were like, I can't do this anymore.
No, that's not true.
So you
gave
up.
Give up until the fucking Cadillac died, you asshole. That's why I'm drinking.
Yeah, man. I really like that scene. I like that scene of Laura lying there, the conversation about just another dead girl lying among the flowers. I thought that was a nice bit of dialogue. And then Mad Sweetie eventually says, listen, there's another way. We can go through my hoard. I really thought he was going to stuff her in his pocket. I know that's a weird thing, but like, wasn't that where his coins were initially?
Yeah, the
or maybe
whole thing,
that's in the book.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I do think it was. They never define what it is, and they just go through a like a little doorway where
and
everyone's
they said
screaming
it's like backstage, which
but small.
So I believe this was in the show in the first season. I'm not remembering completely correctly, and I know it definitely was in the book. But Matt Sweeney is essentially able to pull coins out of the air, and that's his magic trick. But he's not actually pulling them out of the air, at least in the book. What he's doing is he's pulling them out of the hoard of the King of the Leprechauns. So he's essentially stealing gold from the King of the Leprechauns' hoard. So it's almost like he talks about it, it's a pocket dimension warrior, all that gold is.
Yeah.
So when he's spinning and going through it, they're basically getting pelted by gold coins the entire time until they come through.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there
that's
you go.
That's intense. When they land, a couple of them go flying out.
Yeah, I'm surprised he doesn't grab one of those while he's in there.
I mean, they were on a bridge. They were hanging off a bridge.
Yeah.
You don't need the gold coins then. What are you going to do?
He seems to be really obsessed with gold coins. If he's in the hoard, why doesn't he just grab one?
Because he needs one coin specifically. You want to talk about the scene with Technical Boy in Times Square?
Oh, sure.
He's in Times Square just trying to talk to media, trying to...
Got a sweet new haircut.
Sweet new haircut. A little sparkle. He's been bedazzled.
This guy is a straight-up douche, though.
Yeah, of course he is. But he's shouting at a bunch of billboards. He's like, come on, it's a
like
bummer
everybody
that Julian Anderson
isn't
on the show
Times
anymore.
Yeah.
Please, can you just reveal it? Have we cast the new actress? We'd like to see her.
Yeah.
We'd like to get a sense of what's going on with her.
It would have been funny if he was on IMDb, just like scrolling through different actors' pages.
Yeah.
Like, let's go with this one.
But yeah, he's shouting at these billboards, and media is saying, no, I got to redefine myself. I got to grow. She takes over Siri for a little bit. But I do think, despite the behind-the-scenes shenanigans, it's a good way of explaining it. Like,
yeah, I agree.
Julian
media
Anderson
to new media?
Was fucking amazing.
She is
so good.
Yeah.
But it didn't make a lot of sense in the modern era for her to be David Bowie and Lucille Ball and all the other things they call out.
Yeah.
I think
it was amazing to watch and to see her play that.
Well, I think that gets to the core of the difference between the first season and the second season is the first season seems to have this timeless quality to it. Like, we talked about this a lot on the podcast, but it was very much of the book. It felt very much of the time. And even though it was set now, it didn't matter. It could have been set any time. This season feels like it's set now.
Yeah.
You know? And so...
which is better. It makes more sense.
Yes.
And since I've read the book, like, it gives the book readers more of a reason to watch because it is very different. And it's like a new era of how this world works.
Again, I'm very excited to see whoever this actress is TikTok and Pentatonix.
Cool. What?
I don't know. Steph. What else is modern? Ariana Grande.
Oh, that's good. Good. Oh, yeah. You're Googling what's cool.
Oh, wow. What's hot right now?
But you have to do that all day, every day.
Insta stories.
Oh, let me check those out.
What are those? Are those like story books?
Short for instant stories.
Oh,
weird.
That sounds fun.
The episode ends up with Laura and Matt Sweeney jumping on the train where Shadow is. He's
being
tortured.
Amazing fight sequences there.
They go into the train. They're beating up dudes. And Laura, why is she so strong? It's the coin? Are all dead people this strong?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever tried to fight a corpse?
Yeah. Yes. Lose every time.
They're too strong.
Too strong.
Yeah, they're too strong.
Yeah, I think it's the coin. I think the coin is giving her super strength. Just also... They haven't specifically explained what's going on with her. And people have asked her, and she doesn't know, and she kind of doesn't care. There's clearly something more to what she is, so it might be the coin, it might be whatever that other thing is.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
But yeah, they have this gruesome fight scene, too violent for my taste.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Pete loved it.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It really built Pete up.
And then it was a real emotional roller coaster for me.
Meanwhile,
high to low,
as they're fighting on the train to get to Shadow, Mr. Wednesday is a little bit down the train tracks.
Yep.
He's parked his sweet Cadillac,
oh,
innocent,
Betty, yeah,
innocent oh. Cadillac, yeah. Almost like the some sort of mustache twirling villain tying a damsel in distress at the tracks.
It was driving me crazy. And Spider-Man just leaves. Leaves the caddy to die.
Can I just say, by the way, I know I gave him so much praise in the last episode, but Orlando Jones, every single line reading is so funny.
He exists outside of everything that's happening. He's just there to like throw zingers.
Yeah. He hates chicken. Well, I don't know if it was purpose. There was a whole like Green Book joke that happened in the middle of this, which was hilarious with Mr. Wednesday buys fried chicken, and while he's asleep, Mr. Nazi is like, man, I'm hungry. He buys food. He buys me fried chicken. And then he like slowly just tosses it out the window.
It was very, if that wasn't hilarious. A purposeful Green Book joke, the parallelism is insane.
But when you're on the road, you don't get to eat, you know, the normal stuff. You've got to, you know, like eat fast food or whatever.
You understand, though, why Mr. Nazi is upset that Mr. Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, but are you saying that fried chicken is not fast food?
No, fried chicken is fast food.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes you don't have a choice. Like, you're like, all right, 50 miles till whatever, McDonald's. And it's like, all right, well, I guess I got to eat McDonald's. But that is fucked up, especially after that amazing speech he gave in the first season.
Yes.
You know, to get somebody fried chicken like that. So I understand, but, you know. Sometimes you're hungry and you gotta be like, "Fuck this bullshit."
It's just bad on the road, also, because you get grease.
Yeah, it's no good. It's no good for a driver either. Yeah. No. In any case, so Mr. Nazi gets out of the car. Odin, Mr. Wednesday, does this whole dedication to the car, talking about it. I love that sequence.
Yeah,
I thought
it's cool.
The way that he takes this car and talks it up until it becomes an actual warrior. It becomes a character. I did not feel as strongly about it as Pete necessarily, but I think
I'm so glad I didn't have to see it with my eyes. I was so happy that I got to see it through Mr. Wednesday's eyes. It made it a little bit easier.
Yeah, I love that too, because it ties back to Mr. Wednesday being a trickster and essentially almost tricking a car into becoming a sacred warrior.
Yeah.
That's great.
But the car has always been a warrior the whole time.
Yeah, they did play Black Betty over the end of the credits as a dedication to that wonderful car. What do you think they're getting next? Like a Subaru or something?
Don't. You can't.
A Volvo?
Fuck.
Oh, Volvo. Fuck. That'd be fun. That's
what
responsible.
Cars I know? A VW Bug.
Oh, that's cool. One of the modern ones.
Yeah.
The ones
like
everybody loves.
Kicked in the nuts over and over.
What about one of those smart cars that you drive around in?
Ooh, just enough room for fun. That would be cool.
Awful.
A PT
awful.
Cruiser?
Shut up. All right. That car was amazing, and I'm happy that that car got the whole first season and some of the second season.
So do you think they're all going to ride inside of a horse now? Is that what's going on?
Inside a horse, definitely.
Yeah. The horse is
open
dead.
Open up the horse's doors and get inside of the horse?
They don't have a ride anymore.
Oh.
It's destroyed.
So they're going to have to walk.
I don't know what's going to...
Maybe that's what the whole third season's going to be. That's why it's going to extend it out.
It's going to take longer.
A lot of walking.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, also, I'm wondering, like... Because normally a train can plow through anything and not really slow down. But, you know, like, I wonder if the train had to stop because of this or what's going to happen.
I don't know. We'll find out next episode. Anything else you guys want to talk about from this episode before we start wrapping this up?
There was a lot of philosophizing in this episode. There's a nice scene between Mr. World and Bilquist about love versus war, which I thought was cool. And I like those little
conversations. That was really powerful.
It's cool. And this show does it well.
Yeah.
Also super creepy, but because he brought up a good point. Like, if you don't pick sides, then, you know, you can also die. Like, you know, you can...
As they say in Hamilton, if you stand for nothing, what do you fall for, you know?
Oh, wow.
Cool, man.
It's a good musical. You guys should check it out.
It's poetry.
Yeah.
It's really good.
But I just wanted to say, like, I do like the fact that, like, you know, Mr. Wednesday's playing an old god and he's rolling around in an old caddy. Like, to me, that was such a cool part of Mr. Wednesday, and I'm really sad going forward. Because I was Team Wednesday for a long time, but after what he did, I don't know. I'm going
to
get a new team now.
Because of the car stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe you're a new god fan now.
I wouldn't go that far.
Wow. Because they travel by train.
Yeah, I might just be Team Leprechaun.
That is crazy to me. It is absolutely crazy to me. That's your favorite character on the show?
Mr. Wednesday was my favorite character.
No, but not anymore because he killed a car.
Not just a fucking car. All right. It was an amazing Cadillac.
All right.
Jesus Christ.
Before
Do you
wrap
have
up,
no soul?
It's just a car, man.
Yeah,
I don't
it's
know.
Just a car, man.
Oh, just that statement alone makes me so angry.
I don't know. People die.
You've never loved a car? You've never had a car growing up that was like...
Every morning when I get on the subway, I give a similar speech to the one that Mr. Wednesday gave about his car. And then I step on... Because getting on the MTA is almost like being in a car accident. I ride to work, and that's my Black Betty. Is the 4 train.
So, of course, I remember how we end these episodes. We talk about who we worship the most.
I think that's what we did last time, and I think that's fine.
Okay, great. Who's your number one worship this episode? What house of worship will you be joining, Pete?
Yeah, Black Betty. There's no question about it.
You're worshiping the car.
Yeah, the car deserves to be worshipped.
The car's role. Have you ever? I want to recommend this small movie that you would like. Transformers. If you like cars with personality,
don't bring up Transformers.
Bumblebee. That car has personality.
Yeah. Transformers was garbage up until that the latest one where it was all like the old school Transformers.
Oh, Bumblebee.
Bumblebee.
Yeah.
Cool.
Bumblebee was actually great.
Transformers Last Night.
I did not like that.
Transformers: Rise of the
Machine. No, I dare you to name every Transformers.
Wait, okay,
movie.
Transformers: The Last Night, Transformers: Age of Extinction, Transformers.
See, I can't even check this.
Rise of something.
Even Wikipedia is like, nah, we're not keeping track of that. Sorry, they're too stupid. We can't write that down.
I'll tell you about the Transformers movies. I had a blast watching the first one in the theater. I had a really good time. Yeah, that's stupid.
This is garbage.
Shia LaBeouf.
I think about all the time the moment when Megatron finally attacks Optimus Prime, and Optimus Prime is like, Megatron. And then Megatron is like, Prime. And then they fight. It's great.
Well, it's great because it's the original voice of Optimus.
Yeah, it's delightful. The second movie I enjoyed because I went with, at that point, my future wife, and the entire movie.
Tied up in his romance.
Yeah. We were watching the movie, and every once in a while, I'd look over at her, and she'd be like,
I can't believe she stayed with you.
This is terrible. And it was making me laugh so hard because she hated that movie so much while we were watching
it. She should. It's a god-awful movie.
She is a queen for putting up with having to see that movie on a date with you.
And the third one and the fourth one and the fifth one. And we watch them every weekend all in a row.
Why would you torture
your wife?
Honestly,
poor woman.
When you say that, I don't think she's real. Because no real person would do that. That's a made-up wife.
You guys have met her. She's around somewhere.
I don't know. Now that I think about it, I don't know if she's real.
Yeah. Oh, she's a car. That's what I meant. Who do you worship, Justin?
Yeah.
Justin, who do you worship?
Let's see. Tough in this episode because we moved around so much, and I know a little bit about the future.
The hammer guy?
The Shernabakalog? That was good.
You, as a classically trained actor, you had to appreciate that monologue.
I did have to appreciate that. But I think I'm going to throw it out to Bilquist.
Ooh.
I really like that scene between her and Mr. World, mm-hmm. and great acting, great moment. Small moment, but I liked it.
I'm going to say Mr. Nancy. I know I said it the last episode, too. But
you're a huge Spider-Man fan.
Orlando Jones is so good on the show, and every single scene he's in, it just brightens up the whole show, I think. Yeah. He's fantastic.
We call Shotgun. That was glorious.
Shotgun. Great.
I mean, you can like Orlando Jones or Orlando, Florida, and I think you'd be an idiot to not like Orlando Jones.
That's a great point.
What the fuck did you just say? That doesn't make any sense at all.
Those are the two Orlandos in our life, and you have to choose.
No. There's Orlando Magic. There's so many other Orlandos.
Orlando, the Tilda Swinton movie. Where do you rank that in there?
Let's not forget Orlando Bloom. There's
Orlando Bloom. You're not even really thinking about
but
this.
But I'm just saying, if you had to choose between Orlando Jones and Orlando, Florida, what are you going to do?
I mean, that's Jones all day, but that's not.
Which one of them has Disney World?
I guess you don't like Disney World. Yeah. I think Disney World exists inside Orlando Jones. I'm going on a trip to Disney World. I wish it did.
It's like being John Malkovich. You just, you know.
Yeah.
If you'd like to support our show, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Come on down. We'll chat with you about American Gods. Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our upcoming live shows.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. And we'll see you in the gods. The Horde? In the Horde. How about that?
In the Horde.
There's gold coins there.